I'm going to read from Nehemiah 9, 19 through 21. But in your great mercy, you did not abandon them to die in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud still led them forward by day, and the pillar of fire showed them the way through the night. You sent your good spirit to instruct them, and you did not stop giving them manna from heaven or water for their thirst. For 40 years, you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. The word of God for the people of God.
All right, so you guys, everyone appreciated the Holy Spirit message so far? So, you know, last week, for those of you who weren't here, just, you know, we experienced the fire of the Holy Spirit last week, you know. Yeah, 114 degrees, yeah, or whatever it was. Yeah, we experienced the fire of the Holy Spirit. All kidding aside, the Holy Spirit's part of God, it's part of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit's really pretty amazing what Jesus left us, and we see the Spirit working through the Bible, and we're close finishing up on that today on our series, but today we're going to look at the fact that the Holy Spirit was sent as our helper. The Holy Spirit was sent as our helper. So John 14, 26 says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring remembrance all that I said to you." So the Holy Spirit is sent as a helper to us. So with that, I just want to say, in society nowadays, we live in a different society than we did 10, 20, 30, 40, 100 years ago. What's the biggest helper you think that's out there in society today? Phone. Did I hear phone? Anything else? Anyone disagree with that?
Social media.
Social media, but still can do that from the phone. The thing is, I would agree. Oh, I left my phone back there. But our smartphones have become the biggest helper. So they can help me get directions. They can even tell me how to get there as I'm driving. Not just looking at a map. They can, what are some other things? I have a whole list here, but what are some other things?
Calculator,
yes.
They can settle arguments on Google, right?
Settle arguments, yes. I don't know if they're always settled when you do it, but, you know. But, yeah, you can at least find out maybe who is right or wrong. They often doesn't settle. Contacts, yes. I only have about 5 phone numbers memorized now. I used to have probably 60 or 70. What else? Someone else? Yeah, books. You know, and I'll tell you what, for the blind community, it's amazing. I mean, there's all types of stuff. If you watch them use their phone, it's just amazing all the stuff the phone does for the blind community to help them. How about I've never done it, but I know they have apps that translate languages. I could go almost any language on the planet. I could go and get an app and just talk in the phone. It's going to repeat the language to the other person. And then, boom, the other can do it the other way back.
Voiceover.
We have so many things. It's really become the biggest helper. And by the way, I know of at least 2 people in this room that don't have either a cell phone or a smartphone. But thing is for the rest of us, that's the number one thing. I'll probably leave the house without my wallet before I leave without my phone. It's, you're looking. You're not going anywhere without it. Really, you're not. And it's one of the things my wife asked me before I go to work. She says, "You have your phone?" That's always the first thing. Phone, wallet, keys, name tag, I think. Those are the things she always asks me because those are the things I forget. But phone is always the first thing that she asks. But we really should be looking at the Holy Spirit the same way. Are we going to leave the Holy Spirit out of anywhere that we go? Of anything that we do? Should we? But now, do we? we shouldn't. The Holy Spirit was sent to be our helper in every part of our lives. Every part of our lives. Do we allow the Spirit to be part of everything? Little side note, if we did, we probably wouldn't do some of those other things that we shouldn't do, right? Yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm just being straight up. Yeah, we'd probably be like, oh, yeah, Holy Spirit, oh, yeah. But really, that's where I want to go today. But I want to first, this whole message, the reason why I'm the one who put the outline for this series together. And I chose this one last because really almost everything that's been preached really comes down to this is the meat of it. How do we apply all this stuff that the Holy Spirit does, that he's done yesterday, today, forever? How do we apply that to our lives? How do we apply it to our everyday lives? So we started off just saying that the Spirit created and sustained life. The fact that we are those of us who are that those Christians here, anywhere that the Holy Spirit is the one who regenerated us, who gave us that life, and the Holy Spirit was involved there in the beginning with when life was created. Then Kelly talked about holiness. He said, "Why are we really gonna? You know, it's the Holy Spirit, so obviously we should." should promote holiness if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. That should really be letting us do the right and wrong. Not only that, but the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. We're not just left alone to figure it out by ourselves. Again, he's sent a helper for us. So the Holy Spirit comes and helps us to live that holy life. Then we have the fruit of the Spirit. Andrew spoke about the fruit of the Spirit. And I'll tell you what, part of the Holy Spirit, he came to help us to have more love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And if you notice, I've looked at my notes because I've memorized that in about 5 different versions. And if I don't, I'm going to mix up. It ends up turning into like 13 different things, and forbearance and all this other stuff ends up in there. But I chose one version and stuck with it. But the Holy Spirit's there to help us to have more of those things in our everyday lives. Just think, any situation, any place you go, wouldn't it be nice to have more of that? Then Anya talked about that this Holy Spirit indwells us and empowers us with supernatural gifts. And she made it clear that those are not just for us to be blessed, that they're for a greater reason. They're really there so that we can minister to others, so that we can do what God has called us to do. Then last week, Kelly spoke about the Spirit speaking and how the Spirit speaks in the many different ways. And by the way, it's innumerable, really, but he hit a few of the key ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And a lot of that even goes into, again, that direct application there. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to us, then we should probably, that should be affecting our everyday life. So, today my message is going to be a little bit different. I usually follow at least some sort of semblance of a 3-point typical message and the way I lay it out. And those, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just know that most preachers are following some semblance of that, even if they only have 2 or they might have 4 points. But I'm not really doing that today. This is just going to be hit and miss, random, all over the place about how does the Holy Spirit help us and how is he coming and guiding us? So some will be from Scripture, some stories from Scripture, and a lot will be just my own experience and what I've seen and had seen in other people and how the Holy Spirit's worked. So what should the takeaway from this be? That the Holy Spirit is available to be your helper. And the Holy Spirit wants to use us. Now something... I think I have brought up this verse in almost everything I've preached in the last 3 or 4 years, because I just had like one of those aha moments. So you guys, if you're tired of hearing me talk about this, I just have to apologize right now. You're going to continue to hear me talk about Ephesians 3:20. I'm going to add on 3:21 today. And also how I think that we, especially me, have missed it. I missed the main point of that, I think. And the New Living Translation, I think really, they just put the emphasis, at least as I see it, and as I have even looked up, and I'm I'm not a Greek scholar, but I have some sense of how to look stuff up. And I believe that there's even the emphasis is on this. But a lot of the English translations, it doesn't happen. So here we have it in the New Living Translation. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So here, most of the verses, they flip it around. They talk about the great power of God and that it's are these amazing things that God can do. And then I think we often read is, oh, this power at work through us. But we sit and we wait for God to do these great things. But the thing is here, it says that it's done by his through his mighty power that's work within us. And so I think if you ever wonder, maybe sometimes we don't have answered prayer, this is a little side note. Again, maybe it's because God's wanting to empower you to do it. Yeah. So, and there's all types of reasons behind that. But so these things, Holy Spirit can come and empower us. And I like this with message that we've done where if the Holy Spirit could do it then he can do it now. Verse 21 goes on to say, glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. So this here, this glory, says now all glory to God in verse 20, and it talks about how God works through us to do more than we could ask or imagine, as one of the translations puts it. Now we hear say, glory to him in the church, that he does it through all generations. So that means he did it with Moses. He did it with Aaron. He did it with, actually empowered Jesus and Paul. And then who else is he empowered? Yeah, who else? There's someone a little newer. Yeah, Kelly knows where I'm going. Who?
Empowered me.
Empowered you, yes. And you, and you, and you, and you. He did it then. He can still do it today. So he did it then, he can still do it today. So, and this is really why I do ministry. It's not, even though I'm up here preaching, it's so that I can help you guys fulfill what God wants to do in your life. And it was a blessing to me, and John, who's back there on the camera, he came out and he helped yesterday with working down in the bathrooms, which those things are coming along slowly, but downstairs. But it was a blessing to me to be able to show him how to put up the trim. And then Tony Bloker helped too. But it was a blessing. I mean, I'll be honest, this is nothing against John. I've done that stuff for a living and all that. I could have done it faster. But that's not why I'm doing ministry here. I'm doing it so I can empower others. And by the way, in the long run, it's going to be faster because you know what? Then we had to start doing other trim. Then we can start having to do more and more. There's going to be more trim coming on, John. Just, you know, that whole downstairs is going to need trim. So it does work out to my, in the long run, it's going to be quicker. But the thing is that's, I do ministry so that I can see the Holy Spirit work through each and every one of you. I really don't want to be the one having to do all the stuff, even under the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to have to do it all. And Kelly, I know, would say amen to that. And probably Anya and everyone else on staff would just say amen. We don't. So, at the end, I just want to say, when we take communion, the altar is going to be open. And you can come and just receive, if you need prayer, or if you just want to seek God on your own, to receive empowerment from the Holy Spirit for whatever it is you need, to receive a word of God from the Holy Spirit, if you need healing or anything else. I mean, we've been talking about all the things. Not all of them, but we've just touched on a few things that the Holy Spirit does. If you need any of that, the altar will be open. We can have people pray with you. But I want to first look here at a story from Scripture. Really pretty powerful story. We have Philip in the book of Acts, Acts 8. Just a few things here. So I'll just read here with verse 4, and I'm going to skip around. But it says, "But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. God was moving. There was some pretty amazing stuff going on. And then we jump forward a little bit, and he's in the midst of all this. And then, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. These amazing things going on, all types of stuff. And he says, yeah, I just want you to go out through the desert. I know there's all these people. There's probably more people need healing. You know, you could get more people saved. You could preach more. But no, I want you to go down the road. So he goes there, and basically he's going down the road, and the Holy Spirit, in verse 29, it says, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk beside the carriage. Okay, there's this guy, Ethiopian guy, going to Ethiopia, and here he starts walking along the carriage. And guess what he hears? He hears that this guy's reading from the book of Isaiah. And it's talking about prophetic stuff about Jesus. And then he says, well, let me tell you what's going on there. And the thing that's more powerful than that, this Ethiopian guy says, oh, well, I need to be baptized. And they basically puddle, it's a desert, but they find a puddle of water, probably some dirty, nasty water. You can hear Kelly's story about the Pacific Crest drinking water sometimes. Probably something like that out there that you don't even want to touch, afraid the fingers are going to fall off. But whatever it was, they baptized him. But here's the amazing part, is we can historically track that this brought Christianity to Africa. There's a strong Ethiopian church, and they tie their roots right back to this Ethiopian guy. So this one little thing, the Holy Spirit says, oh, go walk along that guy. I know you were doing these amazing things. Just go walk along this one little guy. And I bet you Philip had no idea. He says, okay, I was saving, 200 people a day talking to him there. What good is this doing? But here, an amazing thing happened. So, really amazing. But the Holy Spirit is here to guide, teach, comfort us, rebuke us. Again, if he did it then with Philip, he can do it now with you. So I had a similar thing, just a small thing, and I won't go into all of it, but the lady who came and witnessed to me, I'm horrible at remembering names, but I remember her name, Jean Olveda. And she came to apply for a job at a place that I managed, a dishwashing job. And I didn't hire her the first two times she put in applications because, usually you're not looking at two. I'm not one who really thinks about overqualified. But here I had someone with a master's degree applying to wash dishes. There's just something wrong with that. And just didn't seem right. Something's wrong. If she has a master's degree and can't get employed, then there is something wrong. There's something wrong with her, and I shouldn't hire her. But guess what? We usually had like 15, 20 people apply for these jobs. No one's applying. So I finally was forced to hire her. And she came and told me the first day she humbled herself, was obedient to Christ, obedient to the Holy Spirit, who told her. She told me the first day, of course I laughed at her, but she says, oh, I'm here. God spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I'm supposed to come here and tell you about Jesus. And I laughed. And so the thing is, here, she was obedient. Again, master's degree. Could probably go out and get, great job. She comes and washes dishes part-time. And I'm forever grateful that she was willing to do that. Again, a simple step of obedience. Again, I'm going to repeat this a few times, but the Holy Spirit's here to guide, teach, comfort, and rebuke us. And if he did it then with me, he can do it again with you. Maybe you will be sensitive to just go and do something that seems ridiculous, but you do it because the Holy Spirit prompts you and guides you, and you go ahead and do it. So, new question. I just want to run through here. Just really is, I maybe should have put this a little earlier, but I want to get in. I put it here intentionally, but the question, does the Holy Spirit lead us? And I just want to run through real quick. I'm going to run real fast through the book of Acts. Just a few verses. So Acts 10, 19 and 20 says, while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, these three men are looking for you. Get up, go downstairs and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself. Acts 13, 2 says, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. And they went out and did ministry. Acts 13, 4 says, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. From there they sailed to Cyprus. Acts 16, 6, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. In other words, no, don't do that. Go here. In Acts 16, 7, after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them, again, being guided by the Holy Spirit, where they should go. Acts 19, just two more. Acts 19, 21, now after these things were finished, Paul proposed in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem after he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. Again, the Spirit guiding. And the last one here, Acts 20, 22, and now behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way, not knowing what will happen to me there. And part of what happened there, everyone was telling Paul, don't go, don't go, don't go. And he's like, well, yeah, I know the Spirit's sort of telling me too that I might suffer persecution, but I should go anyway. And the Holy Spirit's here to guide us, teach us, and comfort us, and rebuke us. And if the Holy Spirit was doing it for them, he can do it today. Sometimes, as we see here, the Holy Spirit may prompt us to do things that we may not want to do or prevent us from doing. I have had the Holy Spirit many times tell me to keep my mouth shut. Or even, I think, one time, or at least one time, it was even a little more direct. It was, shut up. just shut up. Zip it. And the place where that usually happens the most is in my marriage. Amen. Yes. Yes. So I do want to tell you, though, that early on in our marriage, you learn to get along, you're learning how to get along with someone and all that. And, we would have some discussions sometimes. That's what my wife liked to call them, those discussions. I had other words for them, but we'd have those. And you know what we found? We found when we just got to an impasse where nothing, we knew no one was going to budge, nothing was going to get resolved. We're just going to keep going at each other forever, on this topic, or just ignore each other. We'd stop, we'd pray, and ask the Holy Spirit to come in and help us. And I will tell you, and I'm serious, 100% of the time, things got resolved within minutes. I'm telling you, if you want to know some, I hope maybe it won't work for you like it did for us, but that was almost like some, not like dark magic, so I know, but like a magic trick, just like a trick that just worked every time we'd invite the Holy Spirit to come. Every time we'd have it resolved within minutes. So the Holy Spirit sometimes might tell us to do things we don't want to do. Did I want to shut my mouth and listen to the Holy Spirit? No, I wanted to be right. I wanted to be right. Or I wanted to prove other person wrong, or I wanted my way, or whatever it was. The Holy Spirit would come in just an amazing way. I'll tell you, amazing ways how quick that would resolve things that we'd been going on for hours about. We need to also invite Holy Spirit into other situations in our life if we want the Spirit to help. Again, he's there to guide us, teach us, comfort, rebuke us. And if he did it then, if he's done it for Sissy and I, good chance he can do it for you. Amen. You just take that time, you take that step. And again, what we're talking is that now I often do that enough. We've gotten to the point where it's almost a habit. Not that we stop and pray, but I think both of us, I know I do. Often we're getting arguments, seems like it's going nowhere. I just say, Holy Spirit, help me. And we resolve that, and often he usually tells me I'm wrong. Just give in. And then I often don't even have, I probably should tell her that, yeah, the Holy Spirit convicted me, but I just move on like it was my idea. It was my idea to go this way, and then she loves me. So another one, just real quick. I mean, I told the story. Most of you have heard it, so I'll give a shortened version. But I was, and I think I even mentioned this last time I preached, but I'm working 78 hours a week, putting in 15 hours a week here at the church, sometimes getting my sleep three different times during the day, and I keep driving home from work, and God says, see those homeless people? I want you to go feed them. I'm like, no, I'm too busy. I don't have time. And then next day, see those homeless people? I want you to go feed them. In the end, I went, and after 3 months of arguing with the Holy Spirit, went and did it, and it's been a blessing ever since. Tell you what, I was refreshed and rejuvenated by following the leading of the Holy Spirit, even in the busyness of that week. So now I'm not only doing 80, 95 hours, I'm doing more like 100 hours a week, but because I listened to the Holy Spirit, it was a time of refreshing for me. Just another couple, just a quick thing, just even real recent for me, and related to all types of things, but it was actually Friday night, our Thirst, where we just have a time of extended worship and prayer, and I'll tell you, it was powerful. It's been a blessing. The last two we've done have been amazing blessings to me, but God spoke something clear to me. It wasn't worded as a rebuke, but it was a rebuke. Love them like I have loved them. Whether that's my coworkers, homeless people, Kelly, anyone, love them like I have loved them. Again, worded in a way that didn't come across, but that was a rebuke because I wasn't loving people like God loves them. So the Holy Spirit can come and rebuke us. He can, again, guide us, teach us, comfort, rebuke us. Another quick thing, it was just a few of you may have heard this, but it was powerful to me, a young Christian, and I'm living with this Christian family. By the way, and they did not have their lives pulled together perfect, but you know what? I was outside, and the guy, he just comes out of the bedroom. I knew he prayed in the morning. That's something he did do. He did pray and read his Bible every morning. And he just came out of him and says, I don't know what it is, but I just got a word from the Lord. And he says, coin purse. And like, oh, and I'm like, what? Coin purse. And by the way, we were sort of living in poverty. So, of course, yeah, he's thinking, whoo, I'm going to find a purse and there's going to be loaded with money and all this stuff. And so all day long, we didn't have a car, so we're walking to town. Town was like 6 miles, and we rode into town on the bus, but we didn't have money. But he says, no, come with me. And I'm just like, okay, we're going to have to walk back. We don't have money. He says, no, God told me coin purse. I think we're going to find some money, and God's going to bless it. And all day, he's looking, I mean, literally, like everywhere we walk, he's looking for this coin purse. Well, finally, at the end of the day, we don't know how we're going to get back. It's now dark. It's raining. And we're just sitting outside of business at the bus stop, hoping, I don't know for what. And this lady comes out of her business and says, hey, can you help me move this? She had a fake horse, like a mannequin-type horse. And what she had on display is she'd found, it was like an antique-type store, she'd found an original saddle from the Pony Express people. And then she goes, you know, this thing's really cool, and let me just show you. You know, they had this little hidden pocket here where they kept a coin purse in there. And this coin purse, it was really cool, and I mean, you can't even see it. And she goes on and on. And anyway, she gave us $50, which again, this is early 90s, $50. For helping her for 3 minutes to move a horse mannequin. So we did find money, but it was just, but he he went. He felt like he was supposed to go and find that coin purse. If we would have stayed at home and not followed, if he hadn't followed the prompting of the Spirit, we would never have gotten that blessing. So, again, he can guide us, teach us, comfort us, rebuke us. If he did it then, he can do it now. So are you going to follow the leading of the Spirit, even when it doesn't make sense? You know, Paul did, as I talked about a little already, but Paul was being told by everyone, don't go. And he did anyway. And he did end up getting in prison, but he followed what he felt the Spirit was wanting him to do. So are you going to invite the Holy Spirit to guide you and be a part of everything you do? Guide, teach, comfort, and rebuke. Really two more things. So I've just been real powerful. I'm training. I do a lot of training at my other job, training truck drivers. And I'm training this guy, and he is just telling me, like, man, I went through truck driving school, and I was there for 4 weeks. And in 2 days, I learned more than I could ever learn there. And he's saying, you know, what is it about you? And I just told him simply, I was honest. I said, even today, I says, on my way to work, I prayed. I prayed that the Holy Spirit would help me to teach you, that the Holy Spirit would help me to see what you need to help. I mean, the day before, what he was so happy about is he had a hard time backing. And I just said, no, I didn't tell him it was the Holy Spirit that time, but I had prayed. What is it? And I just felt the Holy Spirit tell me one little thing. It may not mean anything to you, but I'll just tell you, it's just, hey, you need to aim your tires into the hole that you're trying to back and not the trailer. That was his problem. And he did that, and he tried it the first time. And then after that, he just got it. It clicked. And he was just beaming, like, you know, all that. And he's just wanting to know. And I was able to tell him, no, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the what God has gifted me to do to see those things. Again, we can be that witness to other people if we just stop and ask. If I hadn't stopped and asked the Holy Spirit to reveal that to me, then he would have gotten it, but it would have taken hours and hours. So the last thing I just want to get before we close is just the fact that the Holy Spirit in calling us to do is not hidden. You know, God is not one. He doesn't want you to. I think we often think there has to be this struggle to find out what God wants us to do. And there may be a process sometimes. But Isaiah 48:6 says, come near to me and listen to this. From the first announcement, I have not spoken in secret. At the time it happens, I am there. And I'll just tell you, for major things, again, a lot of these stories I'm telling today, some of you have heard already. But, you know, my wife and I, we went and drove truck together. And literally, it was interesting because I've been working towards ordination. And I was literally like 6 months from ordination. And then I feel like God's telling me, oh, go drive truck. I'm like, no. I'll put it off because, you know, I'm just about, maybe this is what you're saying and all that. And anyway, just keep doing it and figuring just all types of things. And I finally go and I think, well, I'm going to ask someone close to me, you know, to just be praying. And so I go up to Anthony Johnson and just say, hey, can you, I just need you to help me. I just really think God has something in the future and I just need you to be praying for me. I'm really searching out. And he says, oh, no, don't worry about it. I'm like, what? Don't worry about it. He says, God already spoke to me like 3 months ago. He says, you're going to go off and drive truck. And he already spoke to me like 3 months ago about it. So I don't need him to pray about it anymore. I already know about it. I'm like, I didn't even know 3 months ago. And God had spoken to him. I hadn't said a word about any interest. I didn't even talk about trucks around him, nothing. And then I went to Kelly and I said, hey, Kelly, I have something I just want to talk to you about and have you pray with me. And Kelly, it wasn't quite as correct, but Kelly says, let me guess, you're gonna be doing some other job and have to not work at the church. Okay, I mean, and I could go on more, but the thing is God, the Holy Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit working to help guide us. And now, is the Holy Spirit going to, every decision going to happen like that? No, you're not going to have that type of thing. Most decisions, most of the guiding of the Holy Spirit has not been that blunt and obvious. But are we asking? Are we asking? And also, I just point out that the Spirit does not work in the same way every time. If I were going to do that, I'd have to review my last 30 years to actually tell you all the different ways that the Holy Spirit can guide us, teach us, rebuke us. It'd take forever. But again, if he could do it then, he can do it now. I should just share one last story. But I was preaching a message, and the illustration had to do with the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And I used the illustration. I don't know if any of you have been up to Hag Lake, but it's up outside of Forest Grove. And what a lot of people don't know is there used to be a town down there. And actually, they left a lot of the houses down there, the stuff that wouldn't float up, they just left down there. There was a town under there. And just at that time, God spoke to me to use this as an illustration to point out that if, you know, they put a dam up, and then it filled up with water. But if the Holy Spirit's pouring into our lives, and we don't pour it out, it'll just kill us. Not literally, but it doesn't do any good. The Holy Spirit fills us up for it to flow out of us. And so that was the basic gist of the message. And here there was this lady, Tracy. She'd lived basically her whole life. I'm summarizing her life very simply for this point, but still lived her whole life looking for others to meet her needs, whether it was friends, family, government, the church. She was looking to everyone else to meet her needs. Her relationship with God was based on what God was going to do for her. And she struggled with many areas of sin in her life, but she still went to church. She trusted in God, read her Bible, did some basics. But that message, she responded to the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what, her life has been different ever since. She went and got a job. She quit doing the other things that she was doing. And just she responded to the Holy Spirit and that message. And it just turned her life around. And last time was about 8 years ago, I found out, and she's still living her life right for God and just moving forward. And it's just an amazing, amazing thing that I was even able to be part of that. But it was amazing. So as we come up here for communion, just have you come up as you want on your own. Just take it, and the altar will be open. Do whatever. If you want to spend time with God, if you want someone to pray, you can find someone to pray. But if you really need prayer and no one's praying with you, just raise a hand, make eye contact, ask somebody. But where do you need the Holy Spirit to work in your life? Where do you need the Holy Spirit to guide you? Just before you take your communion, just think about that. But Jesus, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us is so, again, is what allowed him to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. So do you need to receive empowerment from the Holy Spirit for some area of your life? Do you need to receive a word of God, whether just directly from the Holy Spirit or through someone else? Do you need healing mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually? The Holy Spirit is here to help us. He is our helper. Again, just come and take communion whenever the big thing I'd ask is just really think about that. Where do I need the Holy Spirit in my life before I, as I move forward? Amen.